This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Edgar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crisson. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, as we join together in worship and praise, we are drawn by the love and peace that is Jesus our Christ. We pray the pain and suffering of the past year may give way to a time of new beginnings and new possibilities, that we may tell the good news of Jesus to an ever-growing number of those who are hungering and thirsting. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us begin with a time of silence as we center our hearts before Him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before You of heart and mind that should be in submission to You, seeking to live in humility before You, seeking not our own way or our own agendas, but to live humbly before You, to hear Your call upon our lives and to live into that call, whatever it may be, to look unto You not only for our salvation and our redemption, not only for our path into heaven and paradise after this life is over, but to seek You in every moment of every day, to seek to do Your will, to share Your good news, to love as You've called us to love. But, Father, these things just seem to be out of our grasp sometimes. So, Father, we pray that with You all things are possible, and that You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, would work in us and through us, that others would know of the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that they would come to faith, knowledge, and hope through love that is Yours in Christ Jesus. Father, among us are many needs within our communities, in our fellow churches and congregations and families, but none greater than for You to forgive us and to give us strength to forgive others. And Father, for us as we come to the last Sunday of this year, as we come before You and we look back, may we know that it is You who have carried us through. It is You who have blessed us in many ways, even though they may have been hardships, even though there may still be difficulties ahead. Help us see the ways that you touch our lives, the ways that you enrich our lives, the ways that you empower us to live and opportunities to serve. For Father, when things are dark and difficult, it is when your light can give the most hope. Forgive us our sins. Help us to forgive others. Hear our prayers and concerns within our hearts and within our lives as we pray for our church, other churches, in our community and around the world, where Jesus is taught and believed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto you. We pray for leaders in our own communities, families as they are home for the holidays, for students as they begin to return to school and teachers, and travel begins again for some. Father, may you be with them, keeping them safe, granting unto them truly safety, grace, and mercy. For the leaders of our state and our counties and our nation, Father, we see so much pain, hurt, anger, and division. And Father, we realize that you are not in the midst of that. You are about unity. You are about peace. You are about loving one another and forgiving one another. You are about not being divided, but to be joined together. Father, we would pray that this nation of people would come before you in bended knee in the name of Jesus, that you would heal our land as we repent of our sin, as we seek to draw closer to you and to serve one another. Father, we would pray that everyone would remember that we are to be servants of one another. Father, remind our political leaders that they are servants of the people, but that service and that attitude of service and that spirit of service must come first in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those who suffer from this pandemic, from this coronavirus, but also from other diseases, other illnesses, and other problems, from heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. Father, we seem to have forgotten all the other myriad of illnesses, pains, and agonies that we face. But Father, may you grant us healing in the name of Jesus. May you grant us strength in the name of Jesus. May you grant us love, care, compassion in the name of Jesus for one another. We pray for those who are in hospital, shut-ins in their own homes, those who struggle and are going through difficulties. We lift them before you. And Father, we would pray that you would now hear us as in heart and voice we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our litany this morning, it's a canticle of Mary. As we share this morning, it tells much about where we are in this season. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. The holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is all those who fear God from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. Amen.
From the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The last Sunday of 2020, can you believe it? Maybe you're glad. I had a joke this morning in Sunday school, and Nicholas didn't think it was funny. And you know, this is the only time ever in history where when you look back at the year, it'll be 2020 vision. And you know, maybe we should look back on 2020 with 2020 vision. I mean, it's had plenty to show us. It's had plenty to throw at us. And it's had plenty to challenge us. But this is the last Sunday. But, you know, next week we'll start a new year. We'll start everything. But is it a new year? Really? Is it a fresh start, really? Or is it just January 1st? Why do we make such a big deal out of January 1st being a fresh start? You know, we as Christians get a fresh start every time we repent. We get a clean slate. Every time we go before God, confess our sins, the Bible says He is good to forgive them. So we get a fresh start. We don't have to wait until the 31st of January or the 31st of December or the first day of January. We get one now. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. I kind of like my life's soul having an eraser of sorts, of being able to repent and get a clean slate. Well, Pastor, what does that have to do with the text? Well, let's have a look. Now, the part that Marge read, she read for the lectionary, and that's the recommended reading. But I need you to show you also verse 21 is where Jesus is taken to the temple. He's about 8 days old, and he is circumcised according to the law. You need to get that because Jesus, but when he gets down here to the next part where he is dedicated to the Lord, according to the law of Moses, every firstborn male child in the Jewish history had to be dedicated to the Lord. Every single one of them. That meant that they were set aside, that they were holy, and that they would also be educated in Jewish tradition, Jewish law, and Jewish religious habits. So now, 8 days, according to the law, circumcised. Now he's back and he's dedicated to the Lord. And we have something that happens while he's there. But hold on. You need to realize that when he is dedicated, it begins. The very ministry of Jesus begins. At this point, Jesus is less than 2 months old. And he has fulfilled roughly 96%. Of the prophecies of God of the Messiah. Simeon, who was devout and studied, and Anna, who had been in the temple, she was probably 15 when she got married. Her husband died when she was about 22 to 24. She's 84, so she's been in that temple, literally living in the outside courtyard rooms and staying in that temple for 60 years. Praying. She's of the tribe of Asher. Her lineage goes back to the prophets of the Old Testament. But you've got Simeon who has the power of the Holy Spirit on him. Notice this ain't Pentecost yet. But the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. And Simeon is devout. And Simeon had seen a vision that he would not die before the Messiah was revealed. The Lord's Messiah. This is the Holy Spirit at work up here in Simeon. And then you get this prophetic psalm, if you will, that Simeon utters to Mary and Joseph. And then we get some verses we'll look at in a minute, 32, 33, down there where we're looking at the rise and the fall of Israel and things like that. And then right after that, you get Anna, who is a prophet or a priestess, and she represents the law. She represents the prophets. You've got the Holy Spirit on one side, and that side is with Simeon. And then you've got, do you like this so far? And now you've got the law down here represented with this woman who was devout, temple, all of this stuff. Now here's the deal. Those people knew all of these signs. Now, if you read the Gospels, do a little puree of them, you find out that even Herod, the king, knew that it was time. Remember, the wise men came to find out where Jesus was. Remember the story. And he said, well, I know it's about time for him and all that stuff. Said, you know, you're right. When you find him, come and tell me so that I can go over and worship him too. Now, Luke's rapid fire. Luke's got Jesus born. Luke's got him circumcised. Luke's got him dedicated. And the next piece of Luke, he is in the temple and he's getting his bar mitzvah and all of those things. So Luke's rapid fire. So now you kind of got this bookend going on. But there's so much going on in this text. Do you see all of it? But you've got these Jewish religious leaders who studied the books, who studied the prophecies. They had every sign and everything else that this baby was going to be the Messiah. And the law requires anything to be validated by two witnesses. So you've got two witnesses. You've got Simeon and Anna. You got a witness of the Holy Spirit and a witness of the law. You kind of got a double dipper there. Do you know that, as far as I know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Wyoming, and Montana all require a wedding to have two witnesses? It is not legal binding contract without those two witnesses. Even today, that double witness standard comes down into our legal documents. And those double standards, like co-signing a loan for somebody that doesn't kind of have it, you know, enough or been there and all those things, you got two witnesses. The law required it. Everything, 96%. The rest of them are going to be the signs that Jesus will do. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to cause the lame to walk, cause the blind to see. He's going to witness. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to fulfill the other 4% in the 33 years. And then it's all going to be finished up when he is crucified, buried, and rose on the third day. Done 100%. Poof. When Jesus is resurrected and ascends into the heavens, 100% of the promises and the prophecies concerning the Messiah are fulfilled, and still they deny it. Still in the world today, people deny Jesus as the Savior and the Redeemer. With all the information, with all the years of study, I've got an Oxford New Annotated Bible here. This is Oxford, you know, that big school place, you know, education place. This is what they say is authoritative. They say that this is the authoritative Word of God. I've got another one by Nelson. I've got Darby's. I've got all kinds of them. If you'd like a particular flavor, let me know, and we can probably go in and get it for you. But the thing is, the reality, they all say the same thing. They all get down to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Not was, he still is the Messiah of God. And people today have the same opportunity that they've always had. And that's accept him or reject him. It's amazing to me, and I struggle with this all the time. Carrie and I have more conversations about this. How can people who have the most information that's ever been available to human history in the quickest amount of time, how can people who are educated, learned, how can they deny who Jesus is? Well, they've been doing it since he was born. The very scribes and Pharisees who were supposed to be watching out to tell the people he's here denied every sign of his reality. Now let's go down and look for just a minute at those two verses I wanted us to look at. Now Simeon has praised God and thanked God, and he has told them, let's go ahead and do those. Master, now you're, verse 29, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, prophecies, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, in a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. God never excluded Gentiles. Go back and read Genesis 12 and the call of Abram and Sarah. God, it's never been that God left people out. people chose to be left out, and then sometimes people chose to leave people out. Prejudice comes in, and all of that stuff happens. But let's look at verses 33 through 35. These are the ones I want to look at for this last Sunday and pushing us forward into the new year. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. But Simeon wasn't done. You need to underline this one. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel." It is still true today that people are going to accept Jesus or they are going to reject Jesus. If they reject Jesus, they fall. If they accept Jesus, they'll be lifted up. That is the way it is. Except there is so much God talk today, but I sometimes wonder what God people have in their mind. Is he a tin can on a shelf? Is he a statue in a corner? Is he a candle they light? Is he a fragrance they burn? Is he an herb they took? You know, what God have they got, you know? Is it the God in the bottom of a liquor bottle or a beer can or a beer joint or a honky-tonk or in prostitution or pornography? There are lots of gods in the world out there, but there's one Jesus. You see, we need to have Jesus conversations, because you can't get to God until you got to Jesus. You see, God is angry at people for the mess they. You need to understand that. We have cotton balled our religion pretty down to where it's about nothing anymore, really. The Bible says there is enmity between you and God until you accept the sacrifice of Christ. And then that relationship is restored when you repent, God relents. Put that in your hand. When you repent, God relents. And the only way to God, John 14:6, is Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the way unto salvation. You can ask God to bless everything in the world, but if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's death. It ain't going nowhere. It ain't getting out of the room. You need to understand that. You can stand up here and say, "God bless America," all you want to. If Jesus ain't in here, it didn't get up there. It left flat. The reality is, folks, it is a time in this country and in this world that it is a divide between good and evil, right and wrong, hell and heaven. And we've watered down our faith. We've watered down Christianity. We've made it too easy. We've made it. It isn't complicated. It is about Jesus. Jesus, this boy, this baby, is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Accept him or reject him. That's the choice today. When you accept him, repenting equals relenting. Can we say that together? Repenting equals relenting. I don't know about you, but I like that. That idea of letting off, you know? Kind of giving back a little. It encourages me as I look forward, not just as I look back. I look back and I see a lot of mistakes. I look back and I see many, many things left undone. I see many things that I could have done differently. But I have learned one thing. I'm pretty smart and I can do a lot of stuff, but I can't undo that. I can't undo anything in my rearview mirror, but I can repent of it. I can learn from it, and I can move forward. Whatever you're leaving behind, you're leaving it behind every day, every minute of every day, and you got a choice whether you drag it with you or leave it back there and let God take care of it. Sometimes you got to make amends. Sometimes you got to take responsibility. Sometimes there are consequences. So now he tells Mary, it's for the rising and the falling. But I want you to look at this text, and I want you to think about where we are in the world today. I want you to see, where are we in the world today? This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. Folks, people oppose Jesus' conversation today. They don't want any Jesus talk down in your schoolhouses. They don't want any Jesus talk down in your courthouses. They don't want any Jesus talk down in your state houses. They don't want any Jesus talk in the White House. They don't want Jesus talk. You can have some God conversation, but don't you put that Jesus guy in there. Because God's safe, you know. God can be anything. And then let's be politically correct and let's call it a higher power or your spiritual aura or whatever your politically correct term. Jesus, when you talk about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, that's not politically correct today if you haven't noticed. It's that conversation that people don't want to have. And that's the conversation we've got to have if we want to turn things around. You see, you can't have a pseudo-faith and accomplish anything. You can't have a fake relationship with God based on what you know. You got to move it down here. You got to accept Christ into your heart. So let's go on and see what else Simeon has to say. So that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Folks, if you're not paying attention in the world today, you can see good and evil playing out. You can see right and wrong and plans and agendas. You can see it if you pay attention. If you'll pray and ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll see it. You'll see a difference between good and evil. It's being drawn clear. Folks, we're either on the eve of the next great revival or on the edge of catastrophe and condemnation for the lifting up or the tearing down. Do you realize that historically speaking, most republics live about 250 years historically? We're 240 odd years old. Do you know that history has been erased? That George Washington consecrated this country in the name of God? And Christ? Where's it going to go without him? We got some work to do, don't we? We got to stand up for Jesus. Because the hearts will be revealed. Accept him or reject him. Embrace him or condemn him. Free him or confine him. That's the choices. We have been quiet too long. We've lost a lot of ground already in being able to have a Christian conversation about Jesus. It was never intended to be separated, but it was intended that the state wouldn't have power over it. But we've let that be redefined. 60 years ago, we began to redefine it. And we've been being quiet too long. Now, let's go on. Verse 35, so the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this, I can just imagine what Mary felt when she heard these next words. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's a foreshadowing. And it's a bringing to full circle. And bringing to the realization, the memory of just what it meant for this little boy dedicated now to God to be the Messiah. It meant that he would suffer and die. That was the prophecy. That was the promise. That it would be by the blood of the Messiah that redemption would come to humanity. And Mary thought about it. Well, Pastor, what is the good news? I am still burdened with how people can take the evidence and ignore it. I'm still amazed how people can hear it and not hear it. I am amazed today how people can accept judgment instead of freedom. I am amazed today how they can live in condemnation rather than consolation. I'm amazed today why they would choose hell over heaven, why they would choose hate over a loving God. I'm amazed today how they can still reject Jesus, who was prophetically proclaimed, who was witnessed of in the temple, who is a historical character you can read about outside of your Bible, who lived, died, and rose again by many proofs and evidences. How they can reject that. Everybody says, well, you know, I find it really hard to believe. I got news for you. There's a lot of stuff in the world they believe that's a lot harder for me to swallow. One of them is the Big Bang Theory. You know, the earth was created through an explosion. How many of you have ever saw something blow up? It's not very creative. It creates a whole crater and lots of pieces. They believe lots of things that I just can't get there with them. But I just don't know how people can take the love that we find in Christ and reject it. It is the hope that springs eternal. It is the hope that has the power to heal the brokenness of our lives, of our homes, of our families, of our communities, of our nations. We can't look to another solution. We got to pray for this one. And that others would hear and follow. And then we'll have a solution. And a hope. And a promise. As we move into 21, may we be bold in our witness of Jesus Christ. May we have Jesus conversation. Every chance we get. Remember, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. It began at that dedication of a 2-month-old. Let it begin with us in a new year. Amen. I think at this time and place on this last Sunday of the year, in light of the message to be a stronger and a bolder witness and have Jesus conversation, I think I would be amiss if I didn't ask this morning, if you are going to struggle with being a bolder witness, I want to pray for you to have that strength. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you feel like you're going to struggle with that, I want to pray for you because I really feel that we need to. I see those hands, amen. Just slip them up and take them right back down. Don't look around to see what your neighbor's doing. Just to worry about you. Pastor, I really struggle sometimes with that relationship with Jesus. I really sometimes I get the God and I have the God conversation, but It's the Jesus talk. If you want me to pray for that, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Amen. Pastor, sometimes I'm not sure about my own relationship with God through Jesus. Pray for me. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. I want to pray for you this prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we come before you, and sometimes doubt can sneak in, and the devil will show up with his deceptions and his lies. But Father, help us remember that is what Jesus did. It was your promise to send him, his choice to come, his choice to go to the cross, and our choice to accept it. Father, we aren't worthy of it. Father, we fall short in so many ways. And I'm so glad the Apostle Paul said, it is by grace we are saved, not by works, or we would brag about it. So, Father, it's about us accepting what Christ has done, is doing, and will do. So I pray that that issue is settled within our hearts, that our faith is in Christ, our hope is in Christ, and our relationship is restored, and that we have repented and thus you have relented. Father, I want to pray for us here, whoever sees this via Zoom, that we have Jesus conversations, that we bring Christ in to the mix, that we bring Jesus to the table, that we are able to share in some way Jesus conversations, Jesus actions. But Father, you got to work in us too. You got to help us in our weakness, guide us in our words, lead us in our thoughts. So, Father, I just pray this morning that wherever we are in our walk with you, that it is for the lifting up, the healing of the nations, and the touching of lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to have Jesus conversations, for it's in Christ we find peace, hope, love, joy, healing. And that our world needs. And go in peace, and by the peace of God, may you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.